Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who can still look intimidating in leg warmers, Pete Schwabba.
This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Welcome back for hour number two. Thanks for being with me on this Thursday night. Post-holiday Thursday night, the days are getting longer. 30 seconds a day, Conrad. That's what they say. 30 extra seconds of daylight a day. So pace yourself, folks. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful City Deck Landing here in Green Bay in the WGBW studios. Our question tonight is, when does saying Happy New Year get old? We have some good text so far. Let us know what you think. 920-264-0606. When does saying Happy New Year get old? When should you stop? Now? January 2nd? One texter said June 30th. The year is still fresh and new. Just a quick aside. My previous guest in the last hour was Craig Anthony Kinnett. We did not get to one of my questions for him. If you are in the Portage area, he is screening his short films at the Portage Center for the Arts at 2 p.m. this Saturday. So if you're interested in what Craig had to say and checking out the independent film scene and kind of the things Craig has been shooting all these years, I recommend it. Portage Center for the Arts, 2 p.m. this Saturday. So it is National Trivia Day. So this is a very special episode of Nightlight. Not special enough we're going to talk about trivia more because we're going to bring in another guest. He is the sports director and digital content director for Civic Media and knows pretty darn much about sports. It is my pleasure to welcome Jimmy Keska. Jimmy, how are you? Is Jimmy with us?
I think his mic might be muted.
Oh.
Oh, wait 1 second. Okay, how about that now?
You there, Jim?
How's it going, Pete?
There
hey,
we go.
Great. I was just about to ask you, when do you think it's too late to say Happy New Year?
I think yesterday was like the cutoff, right? January 3rd? Yeah,
okay.
That's you know, 3 days in. I think at that point, you start getting annoyed by it.
You are subscribing to the Larry David school of thought, and there is nothing
correct
wrong with that. You're in good company. All right, noted. Hey, Jim, thanks for being with me tonight. Big game this weekend. Bears and the Packers have played 207 times. And the Packers have an 11-game lead on the Bears. Will that continue?
Wow. I mean, this game is so much like last year. If you remember last year, the Packers had to play the Lions in the last week of the year to get into the playoffs. And they lost. And the Lions celebrated like they won the Super Bowl. So now this week, it's kind of the same storyline, right? People are calling this the Bears Super Bowl. And that's kind of the setup. Every player talked about this week with Mike Clemens, who is in Green Bay, getting the audio this week. They are talking about how immediately after beating the Vikings, that their attention was fully on this Bears game because of what happened last year. It's almost the same scenario as a year ago. And I got to tell you, I think that experience really changes the dynamic of this final game here against the Bears in the regular season, because you have that very recent and painful experience that you went through last year. I think that just it changes how you prepare for this Week 18 game.
Yeah, it's funny. It is the Super Bowl to the Bears, but it's more important to the Packers. So that's kind of the interesting. I think both teams will probably bring their A game. The Bears are on. Well, they've kind of turned it around this year. I think they're 4-1 in their last five games or something like that. And the Packers have a better record. They've been a little uneven. What do you expect to see? I mean, are the Packers really? Is this the first time they're kind of nervous to play the Bears, or is it just still the Bears to them?
Boy, I think that when you talk about having nerves, I think week one probably had more of that anxiety because it was so much unknown. What's Jordan Love going to be like in his first start as an NFL quarterback? I think there was more anxiety for that. So I don't think that's really in play here. What I do see in play, though, is that, as you said, the Chicago Bears have been hot lately. 4-1, as you said, in the last five games. The defense has really been the key to that turnaround. And as good as the Packers have looked since starting 2-5 in the year, I think we come right back to Jordan Love and we look at what he has done since week 11, a 16-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He's thrown for 30 touchdown passes this year. And I think regardless of how else you might view an 8-8 season, I would call that a success when you start the year and you don't know what you have at quarterback. And then you go out and you have a quarterback who throws for 30 touchdown passes and is in the top 10 in passing and a couple other categories. I think that right there tells you, you got two teams that are kind of on this, and I've been kind of rising to this week 18 game. And I know for the Packers, obviously the win gets you in, you know, a loss and a lot of help you can still get in. It's gonna be a lot easier just to win. Mm, right.
Right.
But I think that this game, people expecting it to kind of go like last week, the Vikings, really a different case, kind of a team treading water for several weeks. The Bears have been playing better and better as the season has gone on.
That's a great point. So I mentioned that the Packers have an 11 game lead on the Bears. Much of that is due in part to the last 30 years, the Favre and Rodgers eras. Is it just great quarterback play that moved the needle, or were there other factors too? Because that's a big swing. I think the Bears were up by like 11 games before Favre got there.
There's so many variables in pro football. The difference between one roster and another is literally a handful of guys, right? You have some transcendent talents, of course, in the league, but the difference between a professional football team, one to the next, it might look a lot different in the standings, but it's not that great when you talk about just the number of people. There's a lot of factors in play. I think Chicago hasn't had the luxury like the Packers have of having some stability at one of the major positions in football, whether it's off or on the field. The Packers have had remarkable consistency at quarterback and having great play there. They've also had a good run of general managers. They had a bit of a drop off for a while, you know, early 2000s. They had, you know, right around when Favre left, another drop towards the end of the Rodgers era. But they've also done pretty well sticking to like a draft formula, right? And picking some of those guys up. Not all of it great, but consistent enough that they've been able to stay in contention for this entire run, much more so than the Chicago Bears have done. And I think there's some key differences in how each organization has gone about what they've done. Chicago, you know, had their run to the Super Bowl. They had that lightning in the bottle, right? They got everything kind of to go for them the one year, for a couple of years there. But like anything in the NFL, there's a lot of variables in play. It's just really unique that we match up Chicago and Green Bay in this context, and where they go, because it really, to me, kind of starts and ends at the stability at quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm talking with Jimmy Koska, the sports director here at Civic Media, about the Bear-Packer game this weekend. Did Aaron Rodgers give the Bears bulletin board material inadvertently? Like, he's not even on the Packers anymore, and he said this is the Bears Super Bowl. Were the Packers happy about that, or were they like, keep your mouth shut, bro, or what?
I don't think the Packers generally care. I think the Packers know what's at stake. But I thought it was funny when I heard it, because Rodgers, you know, clearly would troll the Bears and the Vikings and the Lions. He's very savvy in that and how he can and poke and prod in the media, right?
I don't think
it matters. The Packers got a win to get in. They got more important things to worry about than their former quarterback.
Okay, so did Justin Fields give the Packers bulletin board material by saying there's nothing better to do in Green Bay than watch football?
I think there's been Packers players who have said that before.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think it's anything unique to a Bears quarterback, but I don't know. I take that was a little more playful than I think people are making it out to be. But, you know, to be honest, though, I did see a couple of national sports talk shows kind of play that angle up, and I was very quick to say Wisconsin's got a lot going for it. Nothing against any other city, but being somebody that's been in Wisconsin my whole life, I would take Wisconsin over anybody.
All right. A true homer, Jim. Thank you for that brave answer. So I was listening to Chicago sports today, and what cracks me up is they say, one of the sports hosts said, yeah, what's the weather going to be like up there? And I just so wanted the other person to say, well, like it usually is, 2 to 3 degrees colder than it is in Chicago. Like, they're acting like the tropics start at the Illinois state line. Like, you know, it's going to be the same as there, basically. You know, I don't think weather's going to be a factor, but the spread is 3. Are you surprised it's not more for the Packers, or given how the Bears have been playing, less?
I think 3 is the home game. That's the home game advantage, right? It's the home field advantage.
Right.
It's all 3 points is. So the way they're looking at this is even. And, you know, I tend to agree, because the Packers are not some dominant juggernaut. They have no Pro Bowl players on the roster, right? So, you know, and you've got a team in the Bears that has been playing well as of late. So I think they're right on. Vegas knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised by it. The home just – given the 3 points for home field, I feel like it's fair in this case.
Do you think you said there were no Pro Bowlers in the Packers? Did they get snubbed? Do you think someone should have been? Conrad thought Jordan Love maybe should have gone.
Maybe, but again, it's not. You don't do this in a vacuum. I mean, there's a quarterback is such a weird position where, you know, you can get by a name recognition and really that at a lot of positions. Typically, the teams that are performing well are going to get a lot of the votes. If you look at the voting, it's dominated by San Francisco and Miami. So,
right.
You know, and of course, in the AFC, the tight end position goes to Travis Kelce because Taylor Swift. So
she put him over the top.
I know. Well, you know, that's the thing. I don't personally put a lot into the Pro Bowl or snubs or anything. And here's the thing. After a certain point of the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of players who just choose not to participate. And the teams that are going to the Super Bowl won't send their players. There's a good chance we're going to see a couple of Packers end up in that game.
Yeah, probably. So before we move on, I want to talk a little bit about the college football playoff. But do you have a favorite Bear Packer memory, Jim?
Well, what's interesting is that my grandpa is from Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And my grandma's from Wisconsin. So it's always been kind of a divided house that I've grown up in. Man. So, I don't know if I have a favorite specific memory, but I know that a lot of those game days, the house would be very, very fun.
That's great. What about an era? Is there a Bear Packer era you thought was a lot of fun to follow?
Well, you know, I was born in 1985, so it's mostly been one-sided in my lifetime.
Oh, my gosh.
Packers, so, you know, there's not really an era that I can really point to and say. I love, you know, the Favre era was fun to watch. Favre was a fun player to watch.
Yeah,
he was. But, you know, seeing the brilliance of Rodgers and just completely dominating the Bears in his tenure, I mean, there's something to that, too. But
yeah, do you want to know what it's like as a Bears fan, Jim, watching these two teams play? That's 3rd and 24. Oh, they're going to get it. And they do.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a curse. It's insane. I mean, Rodgers is great, but I'll see him play the Cowboys and not make that or whatever, 3rd and 24. But somehow he manages to turn it over against the Bears, you know. So do you have a prediction for the game, Jim?
You know, I don't do predictions typically, but I you know, that's just because I've been in sports media for so long. I'm not really a predictor of things, but
okay.
I do think that when you have a hot quarterback and a hot defense going head to head, I'm just excited for that potential, I guess, yeah, is what I'll say, because I'm taking the safe way out here. The Packers have a lot of injuries at receiver.
Hey, can you hold that thought for 1 second, Jim? Can you wait 60 seconds?
Sure can.
Outstanding. Jimmy Kosko, we'll be right back. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. A couple of texts coming in, but they are not about New Year's from the 608. After further review, the Bears still suck. From your Aunt Carla. Jimmy, do you or Conrad have an Aunt Carla? I don't have an Aunt Carla.
I do.
Yeah. Conrad does?
Yeah, I do.
Conrad, here's what I think happens in Conrad's family. They pull everyone around the radio like in the old days. They got a fire. Conrad's dad is smoking a pipe. I love it. That's how radio should be, right? And then I got a prediction, Bears 27, Packers 18 from the 920. Boy, how do you get to 18? That's an interesting, it's improbable. Jim, you were saying the Bears have a hot quarterback and a good D. They're on the road. And you were trying to bail on a prediction, and that's okay. But finish your thought.
All right, I'll bail on my prediction by just saying the Packers have a lot of injuries at receiver. You know, the good news is that Jordan Love's done a really good job of spreading the football around. Having Bo Melton come off the practice squad and have the first 100-yard receiving game last week for the Packers this season was a really cool story. I just don't know that that's sustainable over the course of multiple games. So that's where I'm bailing off on my prediction.
Okay.
You've got a Bears team that's playing better. You've got a quarterback who's been playing out of his mind for the past 7 weeks. I'm really a fan of this matchup, and I can't wait for Sunday. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. Are you saying that's the first 100-yard receiving game from any Packers receiver this year?
They were one of two teams going into last week that did not have a 100-yard receiving game.
God, and Love has 4,000 yards. or something like that.
It's so crazy, nuts. But that just shows you, you know, as a quarterback, you know, because the knock for the last few years, the Packers would just launch the ball to Davante Adams and hope for the best, right? was the knock, right? Right? So now this year, he's throwing it to literally anybody, somebody right off the practice squad has a 100-yard receiving game. And I think that's really impressive.
That is impressive.
You know, when you talk, when Aaron Rodgers took over as a starter, he had a lot at receiver, right? He had, he got the throw to Donald Driver. He got the throw to these guys. And Jordan Love came into this year, and a lot of young, untested, unproven guys that have been largely, you know, some of them have been pretty banged up this year. Packers do have found something in a few of the younger, Reed, for example, setting the Packers rookie record in receiving. I think that's really cool. The Packers have something. Tucker Kraft has been good at tight end. There's something there, right? But there's nobody established or proven that he's just going to spam them all game. So.
Yeah, no, that's insane. Okay, so let's turn our thoughts to college. I have a question. How do you think the Badgers did against LSU? I know they didn't play Jaden Daniels or Malik Nabers, but were you impressed by their effort at least? Or what would the score have been if those two guys had played?
Well, you got to remember the Badgers also didn't play a lot of guys too, right? There are a lot of Badger players who didn't take part in that game. So it's hard to know if that game is any different one way or the other. The receivers that LSU had are you know, first round talents, right? Those guys are, they're going to be pros. You're going to be seeing them on Sundays. So it's really hard to say. I think that year one though, of the Luke Fickell era, I think it was probably a little under expectations, to be honest, given all the hype going in. 7-6, you know, as a final record doesn't feel good, right? It's, you know, it's right around 500. It's kind of like the Packers being 8-8 or 9-8 if they win this Sunday. It doesn't feel great that you're right so close to 500, but at the same time, you're talking about a vast change in philosophy, and you got to do this in the bubble of college football in the NIL era, where all of a sudden with the transfer portal, NIL, everything really blowing wide open the last couple of years, you know, now you're building your roster through other means. In fact, for the Wisconsin Badgers, they have added 9 players to the roster via transfer.
Yeah.
And to not be a player in that is a mistake when you're talking about major college football, because everybody else is doing it. You can no longer rely on hoping that your scholarship offer is going to keep somebody on your campus for 5 years, because everybody else is offering playing time. They're offering NIL packages. If you're talking about some of the more expensive, you know, some of the schools that have some of those things available, you know, there's a lot of reasons a kid can transfer, right? Or a college student athlete can transfer. And now that process is so much easier than before. And then you also have to couple this with, in the context of a bowl game, with the fact that a lot of your older players, seniors, guys who have these professional aspirations, they're not likely going to take part in a bowl game, which doesn't mean a lot for them. It means way more for the school, you know, with the payouts and whatever, and especially in a playoff scenario, than for the individual to say, you know what, I don't want to get hurt in this, or I don't want my stock to go down by having a bad game against a good team. I'm going to focus on preparing for my professional career. There's a lot of these different variables that affect what happens in a postseason in college football. And you can argue whether that's good or bad. It's reality. And I think the Badgers are starting to embrace that. And having seen them from all the way back in training camp here, a half an hour away from me in southwestern Wisconsin when they began their season in Platteville, all the way until now, I would say when you vastly change your philosophy from Badgers alums running the show for so many years in the football program to Luke Fickell coming in, changing the offense, kind of changing the mantra, you know, changing how they go about their business, you know, I think this year showed some of those growing pains. And honestly, you kind of need some of that adversity to get over if you're going to get to where you eventually want to be.
Yeah.
Same thing happened at Cincinnati for him.
It's interesting you say that, because I totally agree with players getting paid. I'm fine with that. I totally agree when they don't want to play in the bowl game to risk a huge injury. What drives me nuts is that the ones that are already making millions of dollars in college and still sit out, I'm like, God, you're already a millionaire. Take out a Lloyd's of London. I want to see a good game here as a fan, you know. It's so frustrating.
I know, as a fan, some of this stuff isn't great, but you know, this is where college sports is at with the super conferences, NIL player movement. It's much more like professional sports, and you know, as they say, we've all got to adapt to it.
I get it. I'd be the first guy to sit out. I'm just saying, as a fan, I don't like it. Jim, thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you, Pete. Take care.
Yeah, you too, bud. That's sports director and digital content director here at Civic Media, Jimmy Keska. Always nice to hear his thoughts on sports. A couple more texts. You're welcome. Love the show. That's Carla from Baraboo. She's called herself Aunt Carla. All right. That's from the 608. Conrad's Aunt Carla. You're welcome. Love the show. Thank you, Aunt Carla. I'd kill to have an Aunt Carla. I wouldn't kill, but I'm just saying I'm available for adoption, Conrad. If your family is looking to take someone on, I'm all about it. Hey, do we have time to play? Dwayne Kennedy is coming up next, folks. He's an Emmy-winning writer and comedian. Do we have a clip we can play quick of Dwayne before we go to a break?
Yeah, sure, right?
Let's fire one up if you got one that's like a minute long.
So you got live every day as if it's your last. I tried that one time. It was a Wednesday. I woke up, quit my job, slapped a cop, and hit on my girlfriend's mother. Then Thursday rolled around.
Oh, that is Dwayne Kennedy. He will be along shortly here on Nightlight. I got one more text. It's a prediction. This is from the 715. Packers 50, Bears 0. Well, I wonder who that person's cheering for. Conrad, you got a prediction for the game?
I think it's going to be 28 to 14.
Who?
Packers.
Packers? Okay. Because you're playing for them now.
Yeah, I'm the corner.
You just said us.
I'm the cornerback.
When I said Bears or Packers, you just said us, and I would have thought, okay, you meant the Packers, because I know they just signed. I know you got a signing bonus, and you pulled a hammy last week. So keep those texts coming, folks. That's the question tonight is, when should we stop saying Happy New Year? Craig, subscribe to the Larry David within 3 days, then be done. I'm not as rigid. I say a week. Give people a week. One texter said June 30th is the cutoff point. Very strict about that. So, hey, when we come back, I'm very excited. An old friend of mine from Chicago who's just a phenomenal, one of the best stand-ups working. He's Emmy Award-winning, and he's going to be with us here on Nightlight in just a couple minutes. This is Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Welcome back to Nightlight. I was surprised by the music. I thought we were going to play a quick clip. I have a guest that I'm very excited to have on the show, and I'm going to introduce him in just a second. Here is a very quick sampling of his comedy. Go ahead, Conrad.
I saw a show, man. They had it in about these people in this sex club, and they would like dress up like clowns and have sex. Let me tell you something. If you got to dress up like a clown to get an erection, it's time to find Jesus. It's time, you know? And plus, I'm sure if you're a woman, you don't want to be laying there in bed with a dude in a clown outfit talking about, is it good, baby? Yeah, 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 yeah. Who wrote that cut? Who wrote yeah, 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 yeah. Probably some dude like in the 1800s, right? Probably wrote thousands of tunes. And then that was like his only hit, right? Then he'd be in the park doing a concert, you know, trying to do his later, more mature work, you know. Oh, the woman I love. Dude, yeah, 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 yeah. That's the we came to hear. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. That brother's a genius.
That is Dwayne Kennedy, and he joins me now here on Nightlight. Dwayne, how are you?
Oh, fine, Pete. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It is good to see. This is so funny. I lived in Wisconsin now for several years, and this is the only way half the time I get to talk. I had Gil Martin on, I had Bill F on, now I got you on. It's just the only way I can talk to people anymore, apparently, is on the air. So thanks for being with me tonight.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Pete.
My pleasure. So, Dwayne, okay, so I knew you in the 90s. I think we ran into each other a couple times in L.A., but we met in Chicago. When did you start doing stand-up? Give us a little bit of background.
I started in, 82, 83, somewhere around in there. 84, I don't know. I was, what did I do? You know, I always loved comedy, you know, when I was, since like we all did, you know, sure. I'm sure you grew up loving it. And when I was, I remember as a kid thinking, man, I would like to be a stand-up comedian as a kid. But then you get older, you kind of put that aside. And then one day it's like, you know, I'm going to give that a shot. So I, Zany's had an open mic night. And I looked through the paper, you know, back then people read newspapers. And, you know, open mic night at Zany's. And I went down and signed up. I went down there a couple of times, I think. And signed up, and then I didn't go on. And then I was with a friend of mine. The next time they said, man, because he went down there with me both times, said, man, if you go up again, you go down there, you got to go up. So.
Oh, you didn't go up because you kind of bailed, or they just didn't have a spot?
Yeah, I bailed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I bailed. You know, did I? Oh, man.
Hey, I'm not judging. I'm terrified. Like, when I have to do it now, sparingly, but I literally get a pain in my stomach and, I do this fundraiser every year. Tom Clark's coming up to do it. And I have guys up. I didn't know you were in Chicago. I'll have you up. But I open, and just doing 10 minutes, if you don't have that muscle flexed, holy smokes, it's terrifying. You know? So.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, man. Like, I love doing it. I'm sure you love doing it. But part of me is, other than losing out on the money, I'm always ecstatic when a show gets canceled. Everybody's all sad, and I try not to seem too happy about it. It's like, oh man, we had to cancel the show. Really?
Especially when you still get paid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are your influences, Dwayne? You said you wanted to do it as a kid. I was kind of the same way. Like, who did you see that you thought, oh, that's what I want to be?
You know, all of them. Cosby, and then Richard Pryor, and Robert Klein, and so many people, man.
Yeah.
You know, no, I'll tell you something. George Carlin, not so much when I was younger, but as I got older. And now, man, just if you've seen that documentary about George Carlin, I respect him more than I ever did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah.
I gotta get through it.
He got better as he got older.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny you said Cosby, and my parents gave us, I don't know if they had it or they brought me and my brother a Cosby album, but I knew it by heart. Like, I loved Bill Cosby, and you just said he was an influence. How much of a gut punch was that, what happened a few years ago?
Because
he's like one of the most idolized stand-ups of anybody, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you never, I mean, you know, you didn't see that coming. I mean, I did not.
Yeah.
Bunch of people didn't see it coming, but you know, I'm sure over the years, like I'd heard stories, but not, I'd heard stories like you hear about people just about, you know, infidelities.
Sure.
But I didn't know it was like that. I didn't know it was, you know. Criminal.
And you know, it's not just like, I remember working the road, and I would say every other headliner I worked with, I couldn't believe some of their behavior. I'm like, oh my gosh. What the heck?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like you kind of get dragged into this place or that. It's just like, it's insane. So yeah. I wasn't, I guess, totally surprised, but because of his image and, you know, right. I wanted to be a clean comic like Bill Cosby when I got older. You know, it was just like, what? So, hey, so you have some acting credits, Dwayne, and you're really good. Like, you act in your stand-up, and you're a good actor. Like, but I went to your IMDb page, and you've got acting credits, but I just want to ask you, how come, have you tried to do more, or did you just choose to focus on writing, or how did that work for you?
Well, I enjoy acting. There was a time when I first went to LA, I was acting, and I was attempting to do a lot of acting. You know, I was going on a lot of auditions. I don't know, Pete. I would like to do it more. What I didn't do, and this is just ego and naivete, like I didn't put the work into acting like I did into stand-up. I thought, well, I'm not gonna take acting lessons because I didn't have to take stand-up lessons. I just went up and did it. But you don't realize, you got an opportunity in theory, you can go and do stand-up eight nights a week. So you are, in a sense, you are in class, you know, whereas acting is a more formal thing, you know, where you have to go and sign up and that kind of thing. So, I like acting, though. I've done it a little bit. I just was in this movie that just came out. I shot it in 18. You know how that goes. But it just came out this year called Thin Skin, I play a comedian. So, yeah.
You got to act like yourself.
Yeah. That, which is, anytime I act, that's pretty much all I do is act like me as much as I can.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. People always say that, like, that's some sort of an indictment. Oh, that guy was just being himself. But, you know, it takes a degree of competency to at least be yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So last week we talked about Seinfeld a lot.
Another
guy I watched all through the 80s and was inspirational. And I'm not convinced he doesn't have a lot of skeletons in his closet either, by the way. I'm just kidding. But
hey, you know, it's funny. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no,
I know this cat used to say, Brian Posehn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian used to say, this is so funny, I never forgot this, that it's usually the most milquetoast vanilla acts on stage who are probably the maniacs off stage, and the cats who are on stage talking about, you know, making love to farm animals and all this crazy stuff off stage are those most mild, right. You know, because they get all that stuff out.
They have an outlet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. But we played the clip of you from Seinfeld.
Okay.
And I just, what was that like being on? Did you know when you did that? I think it was season two, maybe. But did you know what
season
that
two? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know what that show was? I mean, I think it had some respect. No. But what was that like being on Seinfeld?
It was great. I that was around the time that my first phase in Hollywood in L.A. when I first went out there and I auditioned for a cat named Mark's, he was the casting director.
Hirschfeld?
Mark Hirschfeld.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had a meeting with him too. Yeah. He was a nice guy. Yeah.
He was a nice guy. He's the one that first called me to come to LA to audition for 227.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So Mark brought me in for Seinfeld and then I read and they liked me and I think they made a decision. You know, if they want you, you know how that goes. They make it pretty quick. So it was great. I didn't know Jerry prior to doing that. I didn't know anybody. I had one time I was on a show with Larry David in New York. We were just not, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, it's a showcase show. So
yeah.
I was on, he was on, a bunch of people were on. We didn't, you know each other, run into each other, but it was great. And then they were all professional, man, and just always, you know, working, trying to find the funny, like, you know, like shows do.
Sure.
But it was fantastic. And here's the ironic part. You know, that big thing that happened with Michael Richards later on, that big blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The funny part is he's the person that I talked to the most on doing that set, you know, during.
Really?
I rehearsed it. He was cool, man. I mean, we spoke and, you know, we weren't buddies, but
yeah.
I probably spoke with him the most of any of the cast members, you know, maybe that's what did it.
When he did that, I was like, this just seems so odd. Like to me, it's like, and I don't know the guy at all. Maybe he's a jerk. No. I don't know. But it seemed like he was doing a character like where he was trying to be edgy comic and it backfired miserably, you know?
I think so. I had heard that wasn't the first time he had done something like that. That was kind of like you said, I don't know if that was his shtick. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't, you know, the first time. And I heard that he had done that at the Laugh Factory before. And I think, you know, he wound up being banned from the Laugh Factory, but that was only after that clip went viral. Because I think, you know, prior to that, he was just doing it.
Jeez.
But I don't know.
Yeah. So, hey, you mentioned L.A., your first stint in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
What do you prefer? You seem like you're in Chicago quite a bit. I'm strictly basing this on your social media posts, but, like, do you have a preference, L.A. or Chicago? Is it easier to be funny in one location? How do you negotiate that?
Well, that's a good question, Pete. I think it is easier to be funny in Chicago. I don't know. I feel just because I'm from here, I guess I feel more comfortable with the tone and the tenor and, you know, and the sensibilities maybe. But I've enjoyed LA. I've enjoyed it. I've been out there. You know, when I'm out there, the times I've been out there, and you know, sometimes it'd be for extended period of time when I was working there. But I don't know. It's a lame diplomatic answer to say that I enjoy them both differently.
No, that makes sense. I will say I was out there for 14 years and I never didn't feel like I was on vacation. I think it's hard to, I mean, just looking at palm trees all day, it's in my kids going to school with kids that are on TV. It's like a fantasy world. Yeah. So, and I didn't dislike that. I had a blast out. I never thought I'd leave, but you know, whatever, things happen. But, yeah. I totally get that answer. So you know what? Actually, we're going to do a quick break, Dwayne. Can you hang for 60 seconds?
Yeah. All right.
Fantastic. My guest is Dwayne Kennedy. He's an Emmy award-winning writer and comedian. And I'm thrilled to have him on the show. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get no rest, don't know how I work all day. When will I learn? Memories get in the way. I walk around, I can't hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go, it's hopeless so. Leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere. Thought I was late.
1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome back. We're in the home stretch here, and I am happy to be talking to Dwayne Kennedy, who's joining me for the last part of the show here. Dwayne, so before time gets away from us, the whole reason I contacted you is I saw you're going to be in Kenosha this weekend. So tell us a little bit about the Kenosha Comedy Club.
Well, Pete, it's a club that
Give me a very technical definition of the Kenosha Comedy Club.
It's in the Wyndham Hotel in Kenosha. A guy named Frank Carmichael runs it, he's a great guy. And they've been, I don't know if it's going on, I don't know, 5-6 years or so. Nice little spot.
Cool. Can people still get tickets? Are there still seats?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. They're going fast. And by that, I mean, I don't know. They're going fast, Pete.
Dwayne is nothing if not honest. So you've done your own comedy special on Comedy Central. You've been on late night TV. What's a bigger thrill? I mean, I know late night for a comic is like the thing. And I kind of segued into writing before I even had the opportunity in it. It kind of hurts sometimes. I don't know if I ever would have got the chance, but all my friends that did late night, I think it's so cool. But you also had a special. What's better?
Well, more money on the special. But okay. I think as far as, let me see. I would say doing Letterman probably was, you know, just, I guess, more special in a way. Just because, you know, Letterman, man.
Yeah.
You know, he was great. Nah, to me, he was the best. Was and is still the best.
Agreed.
Yeah. Interesting that when you do the show, they, you know, I auditioned for Eddie Brill was the comedy coordinator.
Oh, yeah, the booker, yeah.
Yeah, he was the booker. So, they, you know, you come out and you get there couple hours early. And then he brings you out. Eddie brings you out, walks you on the stage, shows you where your mark is, all that stuff. And then you just go and you get ready. The studio is freezing. It's freezing.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't want people to get too comfortable.
I guess that's what it is. And then, yeah. And you come out, you do your set. And I did my set and he came over. Thanks. You know, so I shook his hand. Then I turned and looked at Paul. And when I looked back, Letterman was gone. He was gone.
He was already in his car.
Yeah. On his way back to Connecticut. Yeah. I got money. I got money to count, brother.
So you won an Emmy for your writing on Totally Biased, right?
No, I won an Emmy as a supervising producer on United Shades of America.
Oh, wow.
But with the same host. W. Kamau Bell was the host of Totally Biased, and he's also was the host of United Shades of America.
Okay. So what was that like? How cool was that, winning an Emmy?
You know something, Pete? It was cooler than I thought it would be. I didn't even go to the show. You know, just, I don't know, man.
Was there a Three Is Company rerun marathon on or something? Well, how do you not
know what I mean?
How do you not go to that?
Because Jack Tripper was going to dress as a woman that night, brother.
He was supposed to meet Larry at the Regal Beagle. I get it. I hear you.
I don't know, man. A lot of reasons. Anyway, yeah, just, and then cheap CNN wasn't paying for anybody to fly out there. They weren't putting anybody up. CNN is the cheapest, man. So anyway,
yeah, that's unbelievable.
So I was in New York, and I was in New York, and I was on the subway heading back uptown, and I started getting all these texts saying, "Hey, congratulations!" Hey, but they weren't saying specifically what. Just, "Hey, congratulations," you know, whatever. And I started to put, I said, "Hey, you know what? I think I might have won an Emmy," and I'm on the subway, and I just turned to some woman. I mean, it was just, I said, "Hey, you know what? I think I won an Emmy."
She's like, "Oh, that line."
right. You know, in New York, they say, "Yeah," and the cat, a few rows down with no pants on, just won an Oscar. So yeah, yeah.
So, where can people see? I have so many questions for you, Dwayne. I just have a couple more minutes. Where can people see your comedy? You said YouTube. You got a website or something we could plug here?
I have a website. I'm the worst. It's DwayneKennedy.net, I believe. But I'm trying. This is the year I get all that stuff and start to tighten up on my social media and do all that.
Show up to accept your award, that kind of stuff.
Show up to accept the award. You know, here's something crazy. Our show got canceled last year when that new cat came into CNN and he canceled all these shows. And then he wound up getting fired.
Yeah.
He came in just enough. He came in just long enough to mess up our money, and then he bounced. Yeah,
isn't that just how it goes? It's just
But here's the crazy part: our show is up for another Emmy.
Oh, nice.
So,
well, maybe they'll kick you some airfare this time. That would be
So
hey, we got about a minute left, Dwayne. In one of your jokes, you mentioned your son. You said, "My son's a nerd." I got a 23-year-old son. He's really interested in all things show business. As a dad, does that scare you, or does your son have no interest, or you do not want him near it?
He doesn't have any interest, and that's good.
Yeah, lucky you.
You know? Oh, your son wants to be in show business?
Yeah, and I'm excited because it gives us a lot to talk about, but I can see he's 23 just getting started, but I can already feel like his heartbreaks will be my heartbreaks, you know? I've been there, which is kind of cool, but I'd rather almost, you know, if he's a computer programmer, I don't get it. So it's easier, you know?
What does he want to do?
He's writing and acting. He like won some best acting award at some film festival in LA and he's making short films. Right. And I have no reason to believe he won't be successful, but it's terrifying, you know, just as a parent. But well, anyway, I didn't mean to make this about me and my family's problems, but hey, it was great having you on. Will you come back again soon? Cause I do have.
Absolutely.
We should make this a mini series. Okay. Yeah. Outstanding, Dwayne. Keep up the great work, buddy. And we'll talk again soon, I hope. All right.
Thank you.
That's Dwayne Kennedy, Emmy Award-winning writer and comedian, and one of the best comics working today. If you're in the Kenosha area, get down and see Dwayne Kennedy this weekend. I want to thank all my guests tonight, Craig Anthony Knitt, Jimmy Casca. Thanks for all your texts, folks. Great stuff. And thank you to Dwayne Kennedy. We'll be back tomorrow night with a whole new edition of Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwab. Have a great night. Good night, Wisconsin.